in times or hard times, such a food shortage should repair it all. Huh?
George Templeton has written a book on that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Will you and Irma be so kind as to sing Just a Wayward Lamb? That's one, two, three, all Carolyn's writing. Look at it.
I think that's what you call a stacked ballot box.
I believe it is, too. Stuffed is the word. That's a stuffed ballot box.
So?
Pardon?
So? I wonder if you wanted us to clear. Barb wouldn't mind moving if y'all need to make your way up the
morning. I'm not sure that I'm in voice. Anybody have any other pressing questions? Appreciate your patience in listening, girls. I know that's a long, hard go at it.
Take about 4 minutes. I know we're a little over time. I miss Irma that we can go on time.
Yeah, well, I turn into a pumpkin at 10:30. Up until that time, I'm all right.
Could we just take a few minutes and share with you how your lives are going?
I don't know about that. How do you feel about that? I think I don't want her to sing any of that, huh?
While you're getting up your road trip. This is Joanne Longhorn. Actually, I was just saying up here. Joanne had a good idea. So, Joanne, why don't you begin? Maybe you've heard. Is this the first time you've met them?
I met you at Bob and Beverly's reception just for a real brief time. And I heard you speak on at the Baylor retreat one day. Mm-hmm. But mainly I've listened to your tapes, and I didn't know we were going to be seeing you, but just before I came, my husband took me to the airport, and I was praying for him. I listened to a tape on the role and responsibility of the wife, and you talked about praying for him and that he wouldn't be led astray mm-hmm. by other women. Mm-hmm. And as we were at the airport, this lady came bouncing in this real suggestive dress, and I've been praying all week about this because this is the first time we've been away from each other for so long. Mm-hmm. And that happened. Mm-hmm. And I remembered your phrase of you didn't trust Satan and you didn't trust the little dollies that he dresses up. And and I really appreciate that. And there's been other things too. I've heard Bob and Ben share things in the past that they've learned from you. And I just really appreciate it.
If she doesn't trust Satan and she doesn't trust the dollies, then I don't trust me. So I'm glad she prayed. Man. I want her to pray defensively for her old papa.
I was in a Bible study this semester that Beverly led, and she and Bob had come up sometime before, and he had given them some different things, and she passed on to the girls in the Bible study. One of the things was a little book on George Mueller. Didn't it come from there?
Yeah.
And God really used that to speak to me about faith. Yeah.
That's quite a little book.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I appreciate that. Generosity in there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Didn't know about that. We may be encouraged to get the word out.
I'd forgotten about this until we came over here tonight, but when I was junior in high school, I had a Sunday school class about this teaching. And I didn't have any idea of what to do. Somehow or another, I got a tape on objectives of the Sunday school teacher and went over some principles. I don't know if that was the title of it or not, but it was a tape you made. I still keep the notes, and I've been teaching since then, but I can keep the notes and read over it. And I think the most helpful principle for me when I was just beginning and even now was pick one main thought and go with that.
Amen.
And that was so helpful for me, you know. And I would get my quarterly out, and they would say, teach this, teach that, and bring this in. And, you know, I was 17, 16 or 17, so that was really helpful. And even now, that's been a helpful principle that I had really forgotten where it came from. It's when we came in here tonight.
You know where I got that?
No.
Got that. You know, she's got a degree in religious education. And I'd do my best to speak or teach, you know, and after I'd finished, we'd be on the way home, you know, and she'd say, honey, what one point were you really trying to get across? And I'd say to myself, well, let me see here. Yeah, I recognize it. Said, yeah. And she says to me, tell me, big boy, what do you want them to know, and what do you want them to feel, and what do you want them to do? And that's not a bad outline either. Do you know that? That's not bad. But that's where it came from. So you can thank Irma. I don't remember it too well, but then that's where it came from.
And then a videotape called God's Beauty Contest. They tell me it was done some years ago originally. And it helped me immensely in my own response to God and response to fellows. Mm. And then later on, as my husband ran student work, and I began to work in support of him with some of the girls. And one of the areas that girls' defenses will immediately go up is if I try to make inroads about, hey, what about dress? What about the things that are really bothering the fellows? But we could get a group of girls like this and play your tape. They didn't know you. They didn't have to respond to you. They'd have all kinds of questions, and then we could deal with it. And it was fantastic. And Jim, you both came up to in January of 78 to do a student retreat for Margaret's ministry. And I wrote poetry buff, and I had kind of shoved writing it and reading it when I got on to, quote, more spiritual things, that's what I thought. And you came up and you did the Weavers.
I did Job.
Yeah, you did Job. You did the tapestry thing. And
that's right.
Little boy with no shoes and things that, it was just really touching to me to know that a man who walked with God would also read and use poetry.
Hmm. Mm. I still love it.
Yeah, we still read it.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we'll sit down and read poetry and cry over it.
Well,
that's strong as horseradish, isn't it?
And there were some trying times in life. Some of the women at that time, they needed to know God's forgiveness. And they would help tremendous by that.
You girls may encourage us to keep on.
I really appreciate the way that y'all have continually shared your life with people, allowing people to come into your home and taking an interest in them as though they were the most special people in the whole world to you. And the way that you did that to Bob and then drew me in when, you know, Bob and I got linked up together, and the way that you communicated love and advice and really helped us and pointed us and challenged us to know the Lord. And I love your honesty because it lets me know Jesus in such a personal way, because you're really real about what you share.
Hmm.
And that's real humility before the Lord.
Well, I'll tell you, girls, if there's anything good, we can thank Jesus. We know where the source is. Anything bad, we can blame me. We know where that source is. That's for sure. Apart from the grace of God, I wouldn't make it to bedtime. I would have had it. Wouldn't we, baby?
I said to Jane one night in bed, I said, honey, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And he said, what do you don't understand? And I said, I don't understand why God has given us so many privileges in ministry with the tapes, the videotapes, and the Bible studies. And at that time, Broadman Press was putting out our husband-wife tape and his on financial responsibility. And we've gotten word, I think, that the Bible studies were being printed in some other languages and so on. And I said, I just don't understand that. He said, honey, I explain that to you.
Yeah, I'll explain to you, baby.
You know, Jillian, what you said?
Yeah, I said, well, in the first place, it's the grace of God. In the second place, knowing us, if anything good comes out of it, God will have to get the glory. We can't, obviously. And I said, third, he's just short of troops. You know, if he ever gets full of confidence, we'll be out of business. But since he's short of troops, he uses what he's got. Is that what I told you?
Somebody said God can strike a mighty blow with crooked sticks.
That's right. Amen.
We are very crooked sticks.
But you might be able to get us out of here if y'all can sing.
Well, now, if I'm going to have to sing, I want to tell you about something I want you to pray about. Okay. A couple things, really.
I was going to say, tell them about the Zutendijks
first. One thing is, I think I need another girl in the office. I need an unusual girl. I need one who knows a little bit about bookkeeping, who has secretarial skills, and who has enough stability to make some decisions on her own. Manual dexterity, that type of thing, and some creativity. It seems that the volume of what we're doing has increased to the point where it's going to take some more help. And I really need a gal who's a multi-talented type who can do more than one thing.
But who can do it in such a way that she doesn't threaten all the others.
That's right, you know, as a backup in several areas. So you might pray about that. God might provide the right gal. And then the Lord willing, in a week or two, Irma and I will be flying to Bermuda. I've never been to Bermuda. Have had no desire to go to Bermuda. But I'll tell you this story, and then I want you to pray about it, if you will. Had a call a month or two ago from a fella. He said, "My name is Alwin Zutendijk. Do you know me?" I said, "No." "Have you heard of me?" I said, "No." He said, "Did Waylon Moore tell you about me?" I said, "No." And he said, "I'm calling from Bermuda." I said, "Yes." And he said, I said, "Why are you calling?" He said, "Well, Mr. Moore was out here and held a series of meetings. My wife and I were in one of them." And he said, "I was raised in South Africa, educated in England. I'm now living in Bermuda, and my wife and I want our lives to count for God, and I just really don't know what to do." He said, "I've got all the money I'll ever need. I can travel anywhere I want to in the world. I speak to groups of 2,000 and 3,000 people. I lead seminars. And I just wonder, I went to Mr. Moore to ask him, what should I do? Should I quit my business and go to seminary, or, you know, what should I do?" And he said, "Just one fella I know of that you ought to talk to, and that's a guy named Warren, Oklahoma City." And I said to Mr. Moore, "Would you call him and tell him about me?" And Mr. Moore said that he would, but he hadn't called you. I said, "No." And he said, "Well, that's the situation, and do you think you could help me?" And I said, "Well, I might give you an idea or two." And he said, "Well, how can we get together?" I said, "Well, when do you come to the States?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "As a matter of fact, I'm going to San Francisco to lead a 5-day conference shortly, seminar."
He's a Christian
seminar? No, no, no.
Oh.
No, I'll give you more background in a minute. And I said, "Well, could you come by?" I said, "Well, I might drop by 3 or 4 hours. I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "If you can't come for 2 days, forget it. Because I can't tell you what I won't tell you in 3 or 4 hours. He said, "Well, when I finish here, I'm going to Colorado and 2 of my children flying over. We're going to ski at Aspen for a while. And then I've got to go to Corpus to see one of my boys. And maybe we could come back by." I said, "Well, if you can work it out before you spend the time with us, you know, you can come by." And he said, "Well, we'll stay at a hotel." I said, "Uh-uh. No." I said, "If you're going to come, you're going to stay with me." "Well, we don't want to barge in. We'll catch taxis and get together." "Huh? No." I said, "If you're going to come, I want you with me." And so he called from Aspen and said that he could come in. They could come in on a Wednesday at noon and had to go out the next day at about 4:30. Well, that wasn't any 2 days, but then that's better than nothing. So I said, "Well, come on." So went out to the airport to meet him. I told Irma, meantime, about 2 hours after he hung up, or maybe an hour, Waylon Moore called me from Florida. And he said, "You must have talked to Mr. Zutendijk." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, his secretary called. I wonder why I hadn't called you." I thought, well, that'll avoid a legal function, you know. So I found out from Waylon that the fellow put together an insurance company down in South Africa and sold it out 3 years ago for several $1 million cash.
he is a South African.
And then the insurance company that bought him out hired him, sent him to Bermuda, and they traveled him all over the world, speaking as a public relations man for them, and speaking and leading seminars in marketing, in insurance, and finance. I found out also he has a doctor's degree in marketing out of Purdue, in addition to other things. 51 years old, or 52, and his wife's 39. She's a French lady. She got converted a year ago January. One of those unusual cases, the like which I've never met. I think she was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at the very same time. Yeah. I think it came at one and the same time. I've read about it, but never had seen it. I told her when we went out the airport, I didn't know what they looked like, but I figured we'd know them. I said, you know, if this guy is for real, this would be like going out to a missile sitting on the launching pad, you know, ready to go. And somebody's saying to you, now, get up there in the guidance system and check that thing around, put it wherever you want it to, and then push the button to get it off the pad. And I said, now, you know, if he's for real, that's the situation. So I told her, I said, within an hour, I'll know. We'll find out. Take his measure and see if he's real. So we picked him up, along with two children. Took him out to eat. I figured out right quick the old boy's for real. Full beard, you know, mustache. Charming personality, highly intelligent, just a prince of a guy, and his wife, sweet as she can be, and she latched onto Irma like a barnacle latching onto a ship, just, you know, and she didn't turn loose. And matter of fact,
Lisa, and his name is Alwin
Zutendijk, Alwin and Lisa. For the next hours, the only time that the four of us were apart was when we were sleeping. We didn't cook, we had the food brought in, and man, it was just, you know, we were after it, hour after hour after hour. Never saw anybody as hungry, I don't think. And we'd suggest something, and he'd say, well, I mean, we could do that, you know. To give you some idea of their heart, he was saved in a Brethren church in South Africa. And the place where he was, the blacks did not have a church. He built one for them and became their pastor. He married them, buried them, visited them in the village when they were sick, you know. And they get over here to Bermuda, which is a highly structured financial place because it's a tax haven country. Only 53,000 people on the whole island. It's only about a mile wide and 20 miles long. And the people over there, these high finance people from around the world, look at Christians as being sort of uncouth, you know? So Alwin and Lisa didn't like that too good, so they decided they'd put together an art festival. And they did. Brought in artists from the States, Christian artists. Brought in singers and painters and sculptors and dancers and, you know, all that stuff. Ran it for days. And at the end of it, had a showing of, what was it, The Restless One, The Time to Run? Yeah. And brought in 60 Southern Baptists from the States to council. And had an invitation, and how many people got saved? 120? 120 got saved. Of course, Southern Baptists loaded up and went back to the States. The churches weren't doing anything to follow up. They couldn't get them off high center. And so finally, Lisa went and got the cards of those who'd made decisions. And she and Alwin began calling them and writing them personal letters and taking Bibles by to them. That gives you some idea of the heart these people have. So we took them up to the office and loaded them up with two big boxes of books, which we shipped to them. And after they left, about 2 days after they left, I sat down and took a tape and went over everything that I'd covered with them. That I could remember, and the order in which I'd covered it, book, chapter, and verse, and put it on the tape, sent it to him.
One of his main questions was, what is discipleship?
Yeah, he didn't, you know, give me a dictionary, he says. He didn't, you know, never had heard of the Navigators, didn't know anything about discipleship. It was an interesting time, but anyway, they've called us twice since they've been gone. How long have they been gone, a month? Anyway, they've called, and every time the same message, you know, come to Bermuda. We've told all our friends about you, we want you to come. So, Lord willing, in about a couple of weeks, we're going to grab us an airplane and go to Bermuda. And we haven't told them that yet. And spend about 3 days with them and see. Incidentally, that night, Wednesday night, they were here. Irma and I got in bed. She said, I wonder if they'd be interested in the conference at Glenary where you're speaking. And I said, well, that thing's full and we got a waiting list. She said, well, I know. I wonder if they'd be interested. I said, well, let's find out. But breakfast next morning, she showed them the brochure. And he looked that brochure over, filled out the registration form, made a check, and handed it to me. And I said, wait a minute. Halt. I said, the thing is full, and there's a waiting list. And if you could come at all, you'd probably have to stay in town and just be able to make the meeting. We could do that, he said. He said, we'll be there. And I thought, well, Hart, the old boy will function, you know. He'll move.
And probably will be moving to the States. And, you know, just want the rest of your life to count for them.
Well, that's something else, isn't it? And the old boy evidently is a real good platform man, or they wouldn't be flying around the PR man speaking all over the world. And I can believe that with his intelligence and he's got real charisma, personal charisma, I think. Just tremendous. Now, the thing I can't figure out is why God sent him by here. That's the puzzle to me. And God would have had to wire it up. You know, the circumstances are too weird. But that's a strange deal. But if we can nail his feet to the floor and get him deep in the Word, I think God can really use him. I'm sort of excited about it, really. You don't mind if I'm a little excited about that, do you? Huh? Yeah, another thing he does for the company, he helps them invest their premium income. He's currently investing $20 million a month for them.
Whoa. Lisa's the kind that gets up around 4 in the morning. She's an early morning person. Reads the Word hours. She came upon the scriptures that talk about baptism, and she figured out that it was something she ought to do, but she didn't know what it was. And so she asked his 14-year-old son, Mark, what is baptism? Alan was gone at the time. And Mark told her what he knew, and then they went on vacation to South Africa and went to this little church where there was a baptismal. And she got to see it, and then she knew what it was. But she had already decided that it was in obedience to the Lord. It was something she should do. She just didn't understand what it was. So then when she saw it, well, she was ready.
Unusual gal. She writes poetry. She's a poetess and a very sensitive, type woman. And he's a gunner. He and I can get together. Evidently, they're not exactly poor. I know just from talking to them. They've got a sailing yacht that will hold at least 26, I know, because he talked about that. I just pieced it all together. That'd be a pretty good boat. Did you know that? Man, we may have to go see this, which has come to pass.
Maybe God has called you for such a time.
It could well be. And the thing that amazed me with all that he's doing, he said, you know, business is not a challenge to me anymore. He said, I can do what I'm doing an hour a day at the office. Investing $20 million a month and can do it an hour a day? I need to learn something from him. Come on, Mom, let's sing. Oh, if I can get up. You girl want to take time out and check the plumbing?
All these little expectant mothers, They've done very well.
Oh, tremendous. There it goes again.
Down the hall, how many are going? The first one go down the hall, second door on the right. Next one.
You see this hand?
Yes, I see that hand through the kitchen here and into the utility room. And turn right.
Yeah, next.
Now I
want
to come and play. Now I
want
to play this time.
Oh, really?
What I want to know is, did you buy a house? Did you buy that one? Got it done. Give me that little light. I don't know if I can sing without you playing, honey.
Well, I don't know either, huh?
Well, I'd be delighted for you to think you can.
Well, I guess I will. He'll feel better.
I won't.
I can play loud, can cover it up.
The reason we like this song, and for those of you who have heard it before, don't stop if we like it. Most of the Christian music that they have down in South America was written here, or in England, and translated in Spanish. Who are they after?
They're running
water.
This is the telephone.
Yeah. But this one was written down in South America.
and it's been translated in English. We sort of like that. Have you got a substitute, John?
I think so.
Just a wayward lamb, wandering from the fold, out upon the mountain, so lonely and cold. Come and follow me. Hear the shepherd flee. Safely on my shoulder, I'll carry thee home.